Polls show that somewhere between 5% and 13% of voters are undecided, and the presidential campaigns, the media, and pollsters focus on this slim segment of the electorate. Writer Ezra Klein doesn't buy it. He argues in a recent Los Angeles Times op-ed that from a civic standpoint, few creatures are as contemptible, and they don't actually decide many elections. Besides, they may not really exist. So, undecided voters, call and tell us who you are and why you deserve all the attention showered on you in the run-up to Election Day. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Ezra Klein is associate editor of the American Prospect magazine and joins us here in Studio 3A. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
How you doing, Neil?
Civically contemptible?
I knew that word was going to get me. The argument here is that if you're a political junkie, if you're a political operative, and the original sentence said something about in Washington, few voters are considered as civically contemptible. It's a very odd thing to watch for the people in this town. I've been here for 2 years. There's been an election that's been on every form of news media, from your show to newspapers to the guy on your street corner with the big sign who stands out and yells at traffic. The election has been there. And you've got two candidates who honestly could not exhibit a starker contrast if they tried. I mean, from skin color to ideology to advisors to party. And then some people wake up every day and they're sort of like, I don't know. Seems sort of hard to figure out. And if you take that seriously, then they're an extremely odd subsegment of the electorate. But the actual point of the op-ed is that I don't think those people are undecided fundamentally. I think that the political science research into them tends to show that what you really have in undecided voters are people who are a little bit less willing to say who they're voting for quite a while. I mean, on some level, we're all a little bit undecided, right? There are scenarios in which just about anybody would change their vote. If Barack Obama personally collars Osama bin Laden during a fact-finding trip in Afghanistan, I think a lot of Republicans are going to say, you know what, he may be pretty tough after all. If John McCain leaves one of his 12 garages tomorrow and found a new renewable, clean, cheap type of energy while he was doing some tinkering, I think a lot of Greens may say, you know what, this guy may have something to offer the country. But to actually be undecided at this point, the election tends to be pretty rare. And so I talk about some research in there by two political scientists, Adam Clymer and I want to get the name right here, but I'm forgetting it. So Adam Clymer and in the book Swing Voters, and they say that they looked at the National Election Survey data. And in October, they looked at the 4% who were truly undecided, said they had no lean. And they had them do what's called a thermometer poll, where you say, how much do you favor one candidate or another, 1 to 100? And it turned out that whichever candidate got even slightly higher when they did that test.
Mm-hmm. 51 over 49, even if it was that little.
Even if it was that little, you saw 80% and more of that undecided voters go towards that candidate. So fundamentally, these folks weren't very undecided at all. They basically knew who they were going to vote for, and they just, you know, I mean, they weren't quite ready to express a preference.
So procrastinators as opposed to
civically
contemptible.
Very good way of putting it.
There are people who do not live inside the beltway of Washington, D.C., and may be focused on their economic problems, maybe focused on the Philadelphia Phillies' chances to make the World Series, focused on a lot of different things, and just not focused about the election yet.
That may be true, although, I don't see much evidence that there really are. I mean, that's the problem, that if there were more, it's one thing to not be focused in July or August, but fundamentally the vast majority of voters have a partisan affiliation. They vote based on that. Yeah, politics fundamentally is tribal. What we do in D.C. is sort of create these complicated intellectual superstructures for what our parents taught us to believe when we were kids, generally. And as I said, it turns out that if you go to the end of the election and you look at these voters, they tend to know who they're going to vote for. So they are paying attention on some level. I actually think that the problem is they're not given enough credit. That fundamentally, they are paying attention. They're not just looking at the Phillies. When people are worried about their economic situation, they're actually looking at the paper and saying, my God, I hope somebody's going to help me. We really need someone to do something about this. The question is whether or not they're going to tell the Gallup pollster, I'm voting for Obama, I'm voting for McCain. And I think that one side note to this is that people have a lot of mistrust in government. So I think there's some level on which people are always hoping that they're going to be a little bit more impressed than they are. It's not that they're undecided between the two options they have now, but they're actually hoping something changes so they feel a little bit better about the options they're going to be able to get.
Let's see if we get some undecided voters on the phone. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Our guest is Ezra Klein of the American Prospect. And Bonnie joins us. Bonnie calling from Marietta in Ohio.
Yes.
And are you an undecided voter, Bonnie?
I am. I'm very undecided.
And why is that? After all of the, certainly Ohio, you can't avoid the political ads this year.
No, you can't. But I'm just undecided because, well, I'm very unhappy with the debates. I don't think we're getting enough information from there, and I just don't think that there's any good information out there. I mean, I can't watch the news anymore, the cable news, because it's so one-sided one way or the other. I'm just completely frustrated with the whole process. Tonight I'm going to see Joe Biden. He's going to be speaking in Marietta, Ohio, and I'm hoping to get, you know, something from the horse's mouth, basically, that'll help me decide one way or the other.
And have you been to, or do you plan to attend any Republican rallies?
I would love to. As far as I know, there isn't one coming to Marietta, but Sarah Palin was in Cambridge, and I didn't know about it soon enough to go. But I'm hoping that either she or John McCain will come in this area, so that I just, you know, you watch those debates, and afterwards, the spin, in it's almost like they're telling you how to take the information. It's very frustrating.
And do you plan to vote?
I do plan to vote.
And how are you going to make that decision?
I don't know. I don't know. I even tried to go on the internet and, you know, blog and see what people were saying, but it seemed like they were just repeating everything that was on the cable news, you know, the basic. They weren't making any choices based on issues or quoting issues. They were just quoting these bland generalizations, it seems like.
And Bonnie, can I ask, how did your parents vote habitually? Were they habitual Republicans or habitual Democrats?
Well, my mom was a Republican, a Democrat, while I was young. I'm 43 years old, and now she's a Republican. And I'm not sure why she switched. I was always a Democrat, and I voted for Hillary Clinton in the primaries, but I'm just having a hard time getting what I think is true information about the candidates.
All right, Bonnie, good luck.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Ezra.
This is actually interesting because what you have in undecided voters are there are a couple types, right? They're what you can call, they're nonpartisan undecideds, which are people who they don't like the Republican Party, they don't like the Democratic Party. So sort of every year they vote for, you know, they would be Perot voters a couple of years ago.
Or Ron
Paul voters. Well, a little bit less so. He's a bit more marginal than Perot was. But what you also have, and this is interesting because you don't get them in the primaries, is voters who are dissatisfied with their party's choice. These are not voters who persist in being undecided or being swing or being confused from election to election. They're voters who, that election, they were involved in the primary. They supported, as Bonnie did, Hillary Clinton. Their candidate did not win. And so until fairly late in the game, they tend to be undecided, in part as a result of that. Again, you know, you can't use the aggregate data to predict any one person. Where Bonnie will go will have a lot to do with, you know, I guess, what Joe Biden says tonight or in a week or whatever. But in general, they break very, very heavily towards whichever party they voted for in the primary. That tends to be the scenario of it, that there's a lot of lingering mistrust of the candidate who they did not support in the primary. But at the end of the day, the party affiliation tends to be stronger than the feelings of betrayal. Because frankly, if you were a Hillary Clinton supporter, Barack Obama is much closer to everything you apparently believe than John McCain is. I mean, there's literally not an issue where the two of that, where John McCain stacks up better to Hillary Clinton than Barack Obama does. But you still may not feel great about him given the biases you picked up and beliefs you picked up and, you know, anger you picked up during the primary.
And may remember the criticisms your
exactly.
candidate had
very much.
Against him. And anyway, here's an email from Alice. I am an undecided voter in California, not sure if I should vote for Barack Obama or Cynthia McKinney. California will almost certainly go to Obama, so I'm considering giving a vote to a third party that I also believe in, hopes to give it more attention and power. If I lived in the states where the chances of McCain winning were tighter, I would vote for Obama. So this is a strategic voter.
Right. I wouldn't call that undecided. That's a very tactical move.
Here's one from Jeremy in Aloha, Oregon. I don't know who to vote for because neither of the candidates have explained what they are really going to accomplish now that the Bush administration has allowed all of our capital to bail out Wall Street. So,
you know, I have to say, I mean, this does get into what you were saying about people paying attention to other things. I'm never quite sure how to take the thing that The problem is the candidates aren't offering any ideas or any what the candidates are offering are a lot of ideas that they probably will not be able to implement because Congress is biased towards obstruction and so forth. But the idea that what they don't have are a lot of plans for what they're going to do is always struck me as very odd. And I tend to think it's a way that folks...
These are people who've never been to either of their websites.
But it's not even that. I think people don't trust. And I think you were hearing that from Bonnie in there, too. I don't think it's that they it's a little bit hard to put into words, I think, the fact that the political system fails us. It fails us over and over and over again. It is rotted to its core. I think you have a situation right now where people know. I mean, you have global warming coming in 30 or 40 or 50 years with terrible consequences. You have a healthcare system that'll break the back of the federal budget within 25 years. And most people will tell you, is anything going to be done? No, it's pretty hard. I mean, there's something broken. I think people sense it. And so when all these folks, you know, year after year run and say they're going to get all this done, I think when they say they don't have a plan, they don't mean they don't have specifics. I always sort of get the sense that they mean they don't actually have a plan of how are we going to get this done. It's like the old joke about economists assume a can opener. You can't assume your policy is going to go through. And it's very hard for these folks to sort of demonstrate why they will be more effective in their actions than will all the candidates and seemingly qualified individuals who ran for this office before them.
We're talking with Ezra Klein of the American Prospect about his op-ed in the Los Angeles Times called Undecided Voters. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to James. James with us from Corona in California.
Yes.
Hi, James. Go ahead, please.
Well, I'm a true independent. I'm one that feels that government should be run like a business. The beginning of any campaign, you've got either candidate pandering to their base, only telling them what they want to hear. Very few people are very objective about things. So the longer this takes, the more things filter out to a point where they will hopefully answer exactly what their economic policies are, what their international policies are, what their strategies are, what their strengths are. And in this day and age, I was on an aircraft carrier in the Cuban Missile Crisis, and trust me, it was extremely scary. I would like to find out if either one of the candidates has the ability and the willpower to push the button should everything fall, because there is a window in internet in that sort of activities of maybe 2.5 minutes that you have to have the guts to call a first strike, or else all of your first strike capabilities are taken out.
So James, I think we can all hope and pray that we don't ever discover whichever our presidential candidate wins has the nerve to do that.
Well, that's one of the aspects. The other thing is, who's going to run the government like a business, as opposed to pandering to either side?
And how do you make your decision, James?
Well, I will make my decision in the final debate of which candidate has the balls, basically, to tell the American people exactly what their economic policies are. Do they have the nerve to defend the country?
James,
under extreme circumstances.
James, I don't mean to anticipate the future, but you may be disappointed. The debates thus far have not answered those questions.
Pardon?
You may be disappointed. We've not heard those answers in the debate. Anyway, thanks very much for the phone call.
Well, that could possibly be true, but it's the one who filters out to finally is forced to telling the more specific truth.
Okay.
And I think the more time it takes, the more people get pressed to the wall to answer those questions.
All right, James. Thanks very much for the call.
The fact that Republicans don't have James solidly on their side right now is real evidence of the trouble John McCain is in. Because you listen to what he just said, right? Government run like a business. And who has the, what do you basically say, the cojones to nuke someone? That's not the sort of metric that you generally get. We're going to elect an Illinois liberal. We're going to elect a Massachusetts Democrat. But I do think what you are seeing is a certain level of ideological feeling of being unsettled. There's so much failure among these folks right now. There's so much failure in what the Republicans have done with control of the country for the past couple of years. A lot of people who I think would normally, you know, basically know where they lean are having trouble coming to grips with what that would mean again.
And this would argue against. You cite a political scientist by the name of Paul Lazarsfeld from the 1940s who argued that campaigns are essentially over before they begin, that in fact what the campaigns do is accomplish the same thing that the chemicals do in the photographic process, where they bring out the picture, but they can only bring out the picture that is there already. There's a template that's established, and James will vote Republican.
I don't know that James will.
The Jameses of the world. But.
The Jameses of the world could. Well, what he would say is that events matter, right? What he would say is that it's not that it started before. It's not about party affiliation. It's more complicated than that. Events matter. And so in part of the part of the photograph of the election would be this financial crisis, right? This is not something created by either, despite what the two of them may say. Neither Barack Obama nor John McCain, I'm very bipartisan here, created the financial crisis. But that was a serious definitional event in the election. And a month ago, John McCain was ahead. I feel like people are forgetting this. A month and a half ago, then this happened. This is the sort of thing that really, really tends to militate towards Democrats. And now Barack Obama is ahead. That's part of what that political scientist was talking about. That, you know, we like to say that politics are about campaigns, and we do that in large part because the media likes to cover politics as being about campaigns.
They take out ads,
etc. But frankly, politics is really in large part about events. Candidates tend to win when their incumbents in the economy is doing well. They lose if their incumbents in the economy is doing poorly. And similarly on foreign policy, they lose when the foreign policy situation is unsettled and scary and they're judged to have done a poor job, and they win when that's not true. And I think what you're seeing for Republicans, for McCain, with people like James, is simply that people feel unsettled with Republicans, and the election is breaking in much the way you would have predicted a year ago if you had known about a financial crisis.
We'll end with this email from Thomas in Salt Lake City. I'm an undecided voter and not uninformed. I listen to NPR. I'm undecided because I believe I cannot know what the best option is for the whole nation, and I don't think anybody does. I have to believe that to take a strong stand on any decisions, I need to understand all sides thoroughly, something I believe no one can. So I view people with strong opinions and unmovable in their stances as mostly underinformed. Well, in any case, Ezra Klein, a man of strong opinions and informed, thanks very much for your time
today. Thank
you. Ezra Klein is associate editor of the American Prospect magazine. His op-ed appeared in Sunday's Los Angeles Times, and he joined us here in Studio 3A. We'll be with you from Roanoke, Virginia tomorrow. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.